Please be seated.
One final party for the summer. One final hurrah. I actually got a chance to meet with Hugh this week. Actually, I had two chances to meet with Hugh, both at Chorus. And as we were eating, I always feel that meeting people for breakfast is usually the best thing to do, because it's the start of the day, you're still pretty relaxed, and you know, the meeting can go on for a while, and you still think, oh, you know, we still have the afternoon time, or we still have evening times. Whereas if you meet someone for dinner, they feel, oh, I gotta go catch that hockey game, or I gotta go home and sleep. And I told Hugh, I said, Hugh, this Sunday is going to be my last party for a while. I said, I'm gonna let you have the pulpit for at least 2 months. So the sermon title is One Last Party for the Summer, because it really is one last party for me. I was reading this passage today, and I was reminded of a wedding party that I was at, a wedding that I was not part of, but I had attended. It was for one of my youth group kids. And I sat there because the person who was officiating the wedding was my friend. Now, in Korean culture, a lot of the women, even when they do get married, they still keep their last name. So my friend who was officiating the wedding was a Kim, which a lot of Koreans are, but his partner was a Lee. Now, in Korean culture, in Korean society, there's a lot of Kims and there's a lot of Lees. So after the wedding, when they went to the reception, of course, my friend took his partner down to the head table, where normally, you know, in Korean culture, they're very respectful culture, so they want the person who officiates the wedding to be at the very head table. Now, he took his partner there. The only problem was the wedding planner who had planned this wedding wasn't Korean. So it didn't register that the Lee person that this Kim person had brought was their partner. So they actually split up the seating arrangement so that the Lee was not sitting at table number 1, but was sitting at table number 18. But of course, when you are the partner of the minister, you really don't look at the seat chart, because you go sit next to the minister. So of course, this Lee person sits next to the Kim person, but then the usher says, can I please see your name tag, and says, unfortunately, you're not seated here, but you're seated at table 18. Now, of course, they had made all things, you know, they changed all things so that the Lee could sit with her partner. But it just goes to show that there is something to today's parable. Now, I could go on and on and on about how we should always start at table 18 and work our ways up. You know, you don't start by driving a Mercedes and then driving a Ford. You usually start with a Ford, then maybe you build up to a Mercedes. That was really what was on my mind as I first prepared for this service 3 months ago. But as I was looking at this text this week, amongst getting ready for Vacation Bible Camp, there was one thing that was speaking out to me more. And I'd like to reread to you verse 1. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Now, if you look at the text for today, you'll find it in the bulletin that it's Luke chapter 14, verse 1, and then it jumps down to verse 7. Now, that got me thinking, why did the people who were making this lectionary add verse 1? See, there has to be something that is very special about verse 1 to attach that, or why don't you read the whole thing? You know, were they planning that it's summer, so you want to have a shorter service? Or did the people who made this lectionary, who chose the verses for this lectionary, purposely omitted verses 2 through 6 to try to get a point across. And that was what was on my mind this whole week. Why was verse 1 separated? Let me read that again. I really want you to chew on each word. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. First question in my mind, why is Jesus being invited to a party by a leader of the Pharisees? The Pharisees hated Jesus. But why was Jesus invited to a party, not of just a Pharisee, but the leader of the Pharisees? Is Luke trying to make a point? Not only that, he was there on the Sabbath. Now, I'm going to let Hugh explain the importance of the Sabbath when he comes back, because he'll give you a great story. That's sort of the disclaimer come when Paul talks about the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, you do nothing. Now, I don't know if you've been to Mount Sinai Hospital on the Sabbath, but their elevators stop on every single floor because you're not supposed to do any work. Jesus was invited by the Pharisee to come on the Sabbath. But most importantly, it's this. They were watching him closely. The Pharisees were watching Jesus closely. Have you ever had an encounter where you were being watched closely? I can tell you. It was a couple of years ago. I was driving back from Buffalo. We just went to meet a friend. I was coming back, and I had a lot of stuff on me because it was just sort of a let's go to Buffalo kind of trip. So I had a lot of stuff in my trunk. So of course I was pulled over as I was coming into Canada. And hello officer. And they do have these equipment where they can actually see kind of x-ray vision of what you have in your cars to make sure you're not lying. And he asks, so what are you bringing back to Canada? And I said, nothing. And he asked me, nothing? And I said, yes, nothing. I mean, I was only there for 4 hours. I had dinner with a friend. And he said, can you please open your trunk? And of course, I opened my trunk, and there's all sorts of junk in there, right? Gail will be the first one to say, I'm not the most tidiest person, so my trunk is never really tidy. So there's all sorts of junk in there. And so the officer says, can you please pull over into that building? And I don't know if that has ever happened to you, but that means you're going through secondary inspection. They're going to go through your stuff more carefully, just in case, just for the safety of Canada. You know, maybe I'm carrying some drugs, or maybe I have some gun, or maybe I have something. So of course they go through a poor, you know, student's trunk, and what are you going to find? Nothing but junk. But during that whole time, I was supposed to be seated about 5 feet away from my car, and they were watching me very closely. Probably didn't help that I had an American passport. But they were looking very closely, and they were going through all my stuff, and they were watching me. You know, if I tried to stand up, they'd say, please be seated. You know, if I wanted to take out my phone, they'd be like, can you please put that away? They were watching me closely. They were watching to make sure that I didn't do anything stupid. They were watching me closely. They were watching every single move I make. Not like you watching me in such generous spirit and listening, but they're watching to make sure that I don't do something crazy. Or maybe they want to catch me in the act of me doing something crazy. Scripture says they were watching Jesus very closely. They're watching him. They're trying to probably trap him. Now, I don't know if you have had that experience. Have you had that experience where you have been watched closely? Maybe, maybe not. Let me try to reframe it this way. Maybe you start at work. They say, probation for 3 months. What's probation? They're watching you closely. They want to make sure you're doing your job. They want to make sure you don't screw up. They're making sure that the investment that this company is going to make on you is a worthy investment. So they will watch you closely. For those of you who were here 2 weeks ago when I gave my children's time about how Justin threw my phone into the Atlantic Ocean, ever since then, I watch Justin closely. When I tell Don that I'm going to decorate all of downstairs into something crazy, a cave, Don will watch me closely. It's just the way it is. Watch your kids closely. If you're a teacher and if there's a special student, you watch that student closely. And sometimes there are good intentions. But usually, it's not. You're watching this person closely so that that person does not screw up. In other words, you're thinking that this student or this person will mess up. That's why you are watching this person closely. We've all had that experience. We've all had that experience where there's someone who is watching me. Like Big Brother, I am watching you. I am watching you. So don't do anything stupid. They were watching Jesus closely. Now, if we had read on verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, what we will see is that they were watching Jesus very closely because they bring a person who needs healing. They wanted to see Jesus break the law in front of everyone. This was the leader of the Pharisees. So all the Pharisees were probably there. All the people who were important were probably there. They wanted to see Jesus make a mistake. Is there good news in that? Frankly, no. But I wonder if there is good news in that, in having someone watching us so closely, someone who has their two eyes on us all the time. How many of you have been parents, or how many of you have been caretakers to someone? You may be an aunt, uncle, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, maybe a guardian, maybe a babysitter. We've all been of some capacity. If not, I encourage you to come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to Cave Quest, and you will become an uncle or an aunt to someone. Now, when I watch Justin closely, do I do that because I want him to mess up? When I watch Justin closely, yes, I watch him more closely now that he threw away a $1,000 phone, but when I watch Justin closely, do I watch him out of anger? No. I watch him out of love. If I didn't love Justin, it really wouldn't matter. It really wouldn't matter what he did. Because it just doesn't matter. The gospel story in this one verse that God is speaking to me to hopefully share with you is that there is someone out there who is always watching us closely, and that person is Jesus Christ. Everywhere we go, everything that we do, Jesus continues to watch us. Now, this is not watching like these Pharisees were watching Jesus to make sure that Jesus does something stupid on the Sabbath day. But this is Jesus watching over you out of love. I'm sure we've all had that experience where let's say we're driving somewhere and all of a sudden, you know, the two cars in front of us brakes, and the next car slams on the brake, and I slam on the brake, and I think there is no way I am not going to crash into that car. But somehow, miraculously, the ABS braking system in your car was working triple the rate it should be. and your car does stop. And the first words out of your mouth are, "Thank God." Why do we say it? Is it just out of habit? God watches over us. On Friday night, as I was starting to put up, if you go downstairs, you will see the club room filled with bats. I know it's kind of hard to imagine, but go downstairs. And I also put up a banner of a cave, and I was doing it, and so I was up on a ladder. And usually when you're using a ladder, it even says when you buy a ladder, two people should be working at the same time. One person should always be holding on to the ladder. But I thought I was smarter than that, so I climbed up the ladder, and it's a 7-step ladder, and normally people go up to maybe the 4th step or the 5th step. When you're on the 6th step, which is the very next step on top, right under the top one, it's pretty dangerous. When I was up on that 6th step, I could touch the ceiling of the club room and even go beyond. So I was trying to put up this banner in the back window part of the club room. And I thought I was so smart. I thought I was so athletic. Those of you who were here last week, you remember I'm not very athletic. I thought I had the greatest balance. And I felt if I had just one more inch, I can put this on that end side of the curtain. To cut a long story short, I fell. I fell from the ladder. And for a split second, I thought, oh gosh, this is just not pretty. Don's not going to be happy. Gail's not going to be happy. Hugh's not going to be happy. Mary Prime, the chair of family, Christianette's not going to be happy. Most importantly, my wife's not going to be happy. And I open my eyes, and I look around, and I'm still here. I'm not dead. So I start moving a little bit, and I realize, oh, I can move. I move my right hand. My right hand's fine. I move around my left hand, and it seems a little fine. As you can see, there are some scars. I am a little bruised, but I'm fine. I'm here. And the only thing I can say is that God was watching over me. There's no other way to explain it. There really isn't. God watches over all of us, and Jesus watches over all of us with his two eyes, watches over us very closely. And sometimes that feels like a burden. Maybe we've sinned and we want to keep this to ourselves. But when Jesus watches you in a spirit of love and cares for you, what other good news is there? So getting back to our party, doesn't matter whether you're sitting in table number 18 or whether you're sitting at the head table. Doesn't matter where you're sitting way back there or whether you're way up here. Doesn't matter where you're if you're at a party and you're sitting in the corner just waiting for someone to come and talk to you, or whether you're in the dance floor in the middle dancing and having everyone watching you. Doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, Jesus is watching you closely, never letting go of you. Let's pray. God, we see in the scripture text this morning of how people watch Jesus closely and how that was probably very hard. We live in a world where people watch us closely, but we also realize that you watch over us even more closely. Not only at arm's length, but just right beside us. And for that, we are thankful. A reason to truly celebrate. A reason to truly have a party. And so we give you thanks. As we live each day, continue to remind us and assure us that you are beside us, watching over us at all times. We pray this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.